Well, Wayne, we'll continue our conversation here. Maybe we could talk about Charlie Manuel if you'd like.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I had him in the minor leagues back in 1965, and he always, every time I run into him, he's managing the Phillies, he'd tell all his coaches that he played with a broken arm. And I said, no, he didn't. He was that fourth outfielder. And he hits a lot of home runs. He always, even when he got to the big leagues, he'd try to tell them guys how to hit. But he was a good hitter. And then I had him in the minor leagues, and as a manager, and he's a pretty good manager, but not a big league manager, but he was a good manager for us in AA in Orlando. And like I say, he's when he goes on a road trip, they forget his name money, so he says, Wayne, I need some money to get my beer. So I give him a 20, he says, that's only lasting one round. And then when he gets in an argument with the umpire, he gets thrown out of the game. They look behind him, and they say, what are you doing here? He said, that was a good guy. I said, that was a bad call. And then he threw Charlie out, and he threw me out of the game at the same time. He did that to me about three times when I was with Charlie for 2 years in Orlando. And he's a good old boy. Like, cause, every now and then when we have a reunion, I talk to him. And he's the funniest guy I've ever seen he ever had as a manager and a player. But it's so funny how he tells, when he's with the Phillies as a manager, he always tells him and his coaches that, which I knew in other clubs, you know, other clubs in the league, and he'll tell them about me and him hooking up and having a good time.
Well, that's...
And then back to Frank Clusi, I had him 1 year as a player, but he never used a glove. He just knocks him down with his chest, picks up and throws the guy out. And then he became a manager for the Twins. He didn't do too good, and after he got fired, he never managed again in baseball. He a broadcaster a couple of years for the Twins. I said, no wonder you didn't get a job. It's because you didn't know how to manage. You had good ball players, but you didn't know how to manage. Now, every time I talk to him, we talk about the good old days about managing and playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I say, when I told you this before I started this conversation, that anybody that played with the Twins from 1963 to right today, I had every one of them guys in the minor leagues. And they all got to the 87 and 91, 92 when we won the World Series. I had 99% of all players that came through me in the minor leagues. And I always had it, that's what's keeping me alive, is remembering all the ball players I had in the last 50-something years with the Twins.
Well, you and Kent Herbeck go back a long way, too, right?
Oh, yeah, we go back about 1980 or 81. Then they went to the big leagues from Orlando. He came to the big leagues and then went down. And I had Tim Rodner in the minor leagues, and I had the whole infield, Steve Lombardozzi and Tim Lobners and Gary Gaetti and Ken Herbeck. And I got eight guys that was in that's in the Hall of Fame right now. In the real Hall of Fame, not Minnesota Hall of Fame.
Tim Lobner, he's kind of a broadcaster analyst for the Twins nowadays.
Yeah, I told him he ought to do the games. He'd do better than Bert Blylevin and Dick Primer. I said, you better get on there. I don't want to do that. I said, well, you do a good job in what you're doing now.
Yeah, he seems to do pretty well with it.
Oh, yeah. Me and him, like I said, we go back about 35 years, and it was something. And it's hard to believe I've been in the game 53 years with the Twins.
Yeah. What about Twins pitchers that you remember? Do you have any stories about those?
Well, yeah, I had Bert when he first signed his contract back in 1969. He gets off the plane in Melbourne, and he said, where's the clubhouse at? He said, right here. And he said, you kidding me? And so he was only there about 20 days, and I used to rub his arm off when he started to pitch And after I rubbed his arm down, he said, "You got the wrong arm. I'm right-handed, not left-handed." And every time he talks to the press, he always talks about me rubbing the wrong arm. I said, if I'd have rubbed the, if you should have been a left-hander, and then you'd been in the Hall of Fame earlier.
Yeah, Bert was a real character too. Did he play any of his tricks on you?
No, but he tried to light my foot up like he did the mother ball foot. I said, I was too fast for him. And then I had a couple of ball players try to light me up in Charlotte, when I was in Charlotte in the 70s. And Bruce Haynes is uncle owned the ball club. So I lit the clubhouse. I was going to burn the clubhouse down. He came in and he said, Uncle Calvin ain't going to want that. I said, we're going to be $25,000 richer because we don't draw anybody. And it was our last couple of years in Charlotte. And so I said, I tried to light the whole clubhouse, but then it wouldn't catch on fire. And like I say, every time I remember every clubhouse in Orlando and in Charlotte. When I was in Charlotte and Orlando, when I go back to the fishing team in, you know, Tennessee or Indiana or Kentucky or Alabama or Georgia, I remember every locker that was in that league for at least 25 years.
Holy cow.
I spent 25 years in Double-A baseball. I should have been the league president. I told you. The news said name one time. I said, I was in the Southern League so long, I could have been the league president.
He should have been.
That's right.
Put all that time in and all those bus rides.
They gave me a free bus trip everywhere in the United States on Greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
But the best place I liked was Charlotte. I mean, I kind of grew up in Charlotte, and that's it. Earlier in my lifetime, from 1952 to 1961, I spent in the real Southern League. And like I said, going back, I've been through all kinds of wars. I was in Orlando when they had the racial stuff in Georgia and Alabama. And I had to tell all my colored ballplayers they had to could stay at different hotels than we did. It was bad, real bad situation, but I lived through it. And all my buddies, I had many Mendoza who played in Charlotte with me, and Boot Basher. Most of the time it was I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, when all the racial stuff going on. And it was an experience, but I still loved it.
Wow, that must have been quite the period in time, for sure.
Yeah, I was with Jim Cott a couple of weeks ago. We talked about that. He fished in Chattanooga when all that stuff was going on, and they didn't have no racial stuff like that. And I felt sorry for the ball players, but I told him that when he left there to go to the big leagues, I was in the 70s, and we had a lot of curfews where we had to be back at the hotels. They had a rides and stuff like that. And, like I say, I feel sorry for them guys. And they were good ball players, too. But they just got caught up in the wrong time of life.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, that's...
Well, Wayne, let's talk a little bit about some of the great players that you were participating with, some of the Hall of Famers. Maybe you want to go down the list of those guys.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. I can go down there. You probably know most of them, you know, since you covered it, but I can tell you how I reacted to most of them, or all of them, all of them.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you ready?
I am.
Okay, the first person I got was Rod Carew. He got in the 90s, but I knew him in the 60s. We always had a good time with Rod. I get a kick out of him because he always kid everybody he knows that Wayne was afraid of blood, and he told me how it got then, you know, a ball player, a comedian, blew himself up. I went out there to see if he's okay, but it was blood, and I fainted. And Rod Carew tells that to all his guys that he, that couple of guys who got hurt, and I used to freeze, you know, to get better, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you hit my pitch ball, and I get the freeze, and you push the freeze on. And you ask about it to all the guys that he knows, you know, like Tony O'Leary, and all the ball players, when they crowd around him, he always kid along with him. And then the next one up was Bert Blylevin. When he first signed out of high school, he came to Melbourne, and I was the first guy I worked on. And so I was rubbing his arm, and I said, "Go get a big fella." And he says, "It's okay, but that's the wrong arm." I said, "Well, maybe you would have gotten the Hall of Fame, because he carries that to all the guys." I said, "Maybe if you pitched that team, you would have gotten the Hall of Fame a lot quicker."
It's good.
And then there's Paul Molitor. I worked with him, you know, last year he played with us, and I used it up. He comes over there with the coach and stuff, and I'm with him, and he always tells it about puck. He says, "How come you always get on Puckett about this and that, but you never get on me, and I'm in the Hall of Fame too?" I said, "Well, yeah, but Kirby can take it, but I didn't know if you could take it." So, yeah, you just give it to me like you do Puckett, because I had Puckett ever since he signed, and every time we see him, he's always saying he's losing weight. I said, "Puck, look around." And I found this in your rear end. And we kid along a lot. I mean, every time me and he used that bad word, I said, "Puck, you better take it easy. It's going to come back to haunt you."
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Tony Oliva, even though he ain't in the Hall of Fame, to me, is he should be, could be, and might be. And I've been knowing him since 1963, and I gave him a quarter because he wasn't playing when I met him. He was sitting on the bench. So he asked me, he said, "You got a quarter?" I said, "Well, I'm called Mr. Griffin. I'm going to play." So from ever since then, every time we meet at the clubhouse, I said, "Tony, you owe me a quarter. That quarter I lent you back in 1963 might be worth at least a dollar by now."
Yeah, I was out at the ballpark yesterday, and I got a chance to talk to Tony for a couple minutes. And you know, I was doing some work on my website, and I realized that yesterday was the anniversary of Tony Oliva signing with the Twins in 1961.
So
that's a lot of years ago.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I know he was with doing his whole, you know, 300-something. And then he went to, he's up to 61. He must have stayed there 2 years, because I had him in Dallas in 63.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to, Minnesota in 64 or 65, I think.
Yeah, 64. I think in 61, after he signed, he played in a place called Wyattville.
Yeah. That was in Tennessee. That's rookie ball.
Yeah, and then I think he went to Charlotte, I think.
Yeah, I think he might have went, not all the time, because I know he went there, but I'm not sure he played, because he was going to release him even though he got good. But they didn't have no place to put him, so he worked out with the Charlotte club, just, you know, just playing around the whole year. That was an 8-ball club.
Yeah.
And when I went to Charlotte, it became AA in 64. That's when I went to Charlotte.
Okay.
And then, like you say, Tony Oliva, Carew, Bert,
Molitor, and
Molitor, and the guy was with the Phillies. I had him. He played for Little Rock Travelers. I forgot what club, maybe the Cardinals, but they always come to Mobile. And I was with him for twice. Matter of fact, I didn't even know he was going to get in the Hall of Fame. I went to see Bert, you know, in Cooperstown, and somebody said, "Wayne." I turned around and Pat Gillick. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "No, they put me in the Hall of Fame." I said, "Well, they'll put anybody in the Hall of Fame." He just laughed, because When I knew him, I was only about 20 years old, and I was still along with him and some of the ball players that he had, like Bo Belinsky and a couple of them other guys, and the manager that I was still along with when the visiting team came in.
Mm-hmm.
I was with the Mobile Bears, you know, the bat bowling clubhouse guy, too. And so I was the first trainer the Mets had, but I couldn't take it. We had a bunch of old guys. So I said, I'm just going to work in the visiting clubhouse. I had a more of a mess around with 40-year-old guys, and I was only 18 at that time, or 17.
Okay.
And so, like I say, I had Charlie Manuel in baseball in 64 in Charlotte, and we always killed along. He wasn't he was telling his player for me with the Phillies. He said, I played every day, and I told him, guys, he was a poor outfielder. He only played maybe twice a week. He's a kid. He says, I know that. If you know Charlie like I know Charlie, he is something else. And when he became manager with me in Orlando. Orlando. I'm just having that. And then we'd go on the road, and he'd get thrown out of the game, and I'd be right behind him. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm getting on the umpire. And the umpire throws me out, too. And I know the first time I ever got thrown out, this manager, Harry Warner, he passed away the last couple of months. And he told me to get on the umpire. And them days, they could write you up if they wanted to, you know, find money. And Harry was saying, get on that umpire. He was the player, so I get on it. And then I knew this umpire, he threw me out of the game, but kept waiting for a telegraph. The league president, I knew it was a real league president. And then I found out it was a joke, because the next day I told the umpire, I said, you messed up. He said, what do you mean? I said, you sent me a telegram, but you're supposed to put Bobby Bregan. He's the league president. He's supposed to be signing it, Bobby Bregan.
Just trying to pull one over on you.
Yeah, and I had Ralph Lowe. He was another great manager. He passed away. Matter of fact, I went to Charlotte. His daughter invited me to Charlotte. They had a reunion of the clubs that we had in Charlotte. And his daughter invited me. That's Ralph Lowe. He was manager. I think he became a head coach of one of the clubs, either Baltimore or I don't think he did with the Twins, but I know he was a hitting coach for Baltimore. He's a great hitter. I mean, for a small guy, he knew how to hit. I mean, he won a couple of good games when he played with my team in Mobile in 54. And he hits really, matter of fact, he won the championship game for us in 54. And I met him back in Charlotte in 1964. I was a trainer's house, and my God, he was sitting at the lunch table eating dinner. It's like, my God, I've been over 10 years since I've seen you. He says, right. So he was in our organization. I've known him in the Twins organization for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, anyway, I had Harry Warner, who's a pretty good manager, trickster and stuff like that. And we grew up together. I had about three or four different times in different organizations. I mean, the same organization, but met different clubs, you know, Lynchburg and Reno, Nevada, and Orlando, Florida.
Yeah. We're,
made the major league club. He went to Milwaukee a couple of years as a coach. That was good.
Were the players easier to get along with back then than they are today, or is that pretty much still the same?
What's that again?
Were the players easier to get along with back then, or is it about the same?
It's about the same. In fact, maybe it's just me. I'm just a gangster, you know. I like to cut up a lot. I'm not sure. I never met the other clubs, but all the clubs we had in all of 50 years, there was no bad blood with anybody, and I get along with him great. I only had one ball player I couldn't get along with, and that was a couple of years ago, but I could get along with him, but I just get along with him. Ventura, I can't think of his name right now. But we never had no fights. I think we had one incident, but there's nothing about it. But all the clubs I had with the Minnesota Twins organization was all great guys. I mean, you couldn't have no bad guys. I mean, even when I was in the minor league for about 40-something years, even in spring training, I took care of 180 guys, and we never had no trouble at all. I killed on with it. Very good, because I'm going to treat them guys very good, because out of 180, you may have only two or three guys get to the big leagues each year, not every year, but some years it'd be one guy. Sometimes nobody. But I always treat them very good, because I don't want them when they get grandkids to say, this old man mistreated me. I always treat them good and treat them with a lot of respect, even though I came along with them a lot. In like Angel Park, Scout Society, I have a saying, there's a whole bunch of saying on, I have a t-shirt that made. And it's very cut back. You just get some letters off. I meet somebody 15 years later and say, Wayne, you did me a favor. You treated me nice, even though you told me I couldn't hit or couldn't pitch. Again, you treated me respect, so when I had kids, I want them to, you know, respect me, respect them as a daddy, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just have fun with it.
That's a big deal.
And that's what I like, and that's what I get. It ain't the money I made, which I didn't make much money with Captain Griffin and them guys. But just being around all them guys and knowing the Hall of Famers, and even some of them who didn't make the Hall of Famers is in the Minnesota Hall of Fame. You probably kept up with them guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Kirby Puckett, I mean, Puckett's in here. But like Tom Kelly, who might get in the Hall of Fame, we don't know how they vote in these days, you know.
Yeah.
And the game's changed so much. Like I said, starting with the minor leagues, I ain't got to the big leagues yet.
Yep.
Or maybe it has. Is 9 innings. Remember, they used in the minor leagues, they always play until somebody wins.
Yeah.
And I just found out that they stopped the game, and there's a tie game in 19. And I just found out they put a guy on second base. I don't know which side, the home or the piston, nobody said. And they get a hit, they win the game. But if he didn't get a hit, I think there was two outs and a man on second base. And chances of them, not all the time, they don't get a win, so it winds up a tie. And the fans don't even know that. I mean, I just happen to pick it up on radio or stuff like that. Everybody don't listen to radio or TV. Well, it's not been on TV yet. I heard on radio, NBC, talk about, you know, the changes that they're making in baseball. Even Ranch told me, he says, with the video men, and they tell them guys, we got, I think, 10 or 12 of them, and they go in there and tell them guys what to hit, what not to hit, what to pitch, what not to pitch. And like I said, if they don't know it, by the time they get to the big leagues, they're in trouble.
Hmm.
I mean, you learn how to catch a ball when you're 10 years old, or pitch a ball. And this Tommy John surgery is out of sight. Guy gets it. They sign players with Tommy John surgeries, and just they had to say that a whole year, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you probably heard about that. Then they get on disabled, and Don Zimmer told me this. When he managed Red Sox, somebody got hit on his shoulders, and he runs up to the home plate to see how he is. By the time he gets to the home plate, the trainer says, he's on disabled list. He's got a blue, so he's on disabled list. I used to say, rub it out, you know, put the sand on it.
Yeah.
And then the one reason they tell me why they doing all this changing the 9-inning games is they don't want a 2-1 or 3-1 game going 4 or 5 hours. and this will just be in the instant replay. I guess I don't know how you feel about instant replay, but you know, it used to be umpires know how to make the calls. Now they got to make sure it's right now. You know, it was like that for 100 years. Why change it now?
I'm not sure the umpires are in favor of it, though.
I know they broadcast it up in New York, and then they watch it on the tube, because that's why I think 3 or 4 minutes to figure out what's going on, a home run or sliding in the home plate. I talked to A.J. Brzezinski when that happened. He said he don't like it because you got all the catching protector, you know, and you ain't going to get hurt. I mean, now and then you get he's got a broken finger, but he said, heck, I was ready to play 10 days later. I mean, you know, I played hurt.
AJ was a tough guy.
Oh, yeah, he's a real tough guy. I won't say he's too old to play now. Now you know about players. We got a couple of guys on the roster now, 40 years old, 41, still pitching. But that don't mean they pitched like they did when he was 20, but more power to them. And then, one thing, is when they hit the ball over the left field fence or right field fence, they can miss it, you know. In the minor league, you only got 3 umpires. The umpires, you got 4, but you ain't got nobody down left field line. The third base umpire has to run way down the line. If it's a close play, you know,
yeah,
you can make mistakes, but they get 90% of the time, if they're right, they might be 1 out of 100. They might have missed it, you know, saying it was foul and it was there, or it was there and it was foul, you know, something like that. But most of the time, when they call it one way or the other, they're always right.
Yeah. It's kind of hard.
The only ones I don't like is when they throw the ball to first base and they say, oh, he didn't touch first base. And like Drew told me, he said, Wayne, I ain't going to step in the middle of the bag so they can run me over. I'll just touch it with my toes, you know, all you need to. And same way for second base, they slide in second base. If they don't slide right, then umpires need to call them out or safe. You know, in other words, it depends on how they slide.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, the game is changing, and, you know, they're not going to put in the pitch clock this year, but, you know, there's, you know, that's coming.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but and another thing they're doing now, I didn't get everything straight. The pitching, the manager, I'm not sure about the pitching, they can only make one trip to the mound. Either the pitching coach, or sometimes the pitching coach would come out first. And then Molly would come out, maybe have a pitch later, or, you know, one hitter later. But I'm not sure if they could change that. It means he could step out, not to go in the field, but he could wave from one step out the dugout and just wave to the umpire, bring me in, you know, instead of go out there and shoot the bull and stuff like that. you can't go out there, but you can take him out by just stepping out the dugout, just wave to the umpire, bring the other guy in, saves all that time.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the catchers. Something about the catchers. Same way, they can't go out. I've noticed the last couple of years, they go out there, like every other pitch or something, go out to the mound and talk to the guy and then come back. I think they're trying to speed up the game that way, so catch you going out 3 times and 3 hitters.
Yeah. I think the rule changed this year, and I don't know the specifics of it, but they count the number of times that a coach or a manager and a catcher can go out. So you only have, you know, X amount of times that you can do that, and then...
Right, yeah. I thought it was 1 or 2. No more than 2 times, I think. The pitcher can go out or something, and maybe the pitcher coach, but when the manager don't have to go out, he can just wait, take one step out the dugout and say, bring this pitcher in instead of him going out to the mound and, you know, talking all that stuff.
So I suppose, you know, with at this time of the year when the team is getting ready to break camp, and head north, that would have been a pretty busy time for you, I assume.
Yeah, we'll just leave the spring training. And when they leave, I mean, you don't expect them to go nine innings. But most of the time, they only go triple innings and they get taken out. I mean, because the spring training, you don't get to go five, six, seven innings. You usually go, since they had so many pitchers, you know, we have like 35 pitches down there. You try to get everybody in. Yes, you know, when they go to the mound, the first game or the fifth game, because they only played, what, 15 games down there or something like that, maybe 20 at the most. You got 38 pitchers, some of them relievers, some of them starters. But they only pitch, the most they pitch, you know, the whole spring training, maybe four innings, five at the most, very most, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you open up the season, they've only got about, 18 to 20 innings the whole time. That's why sometimes they go down to the minor leagues and mess up them the minor leaguers, because when they go out, when the minor league starts game, they bring a big leaguer over there to pitch maybe triple innings, so that just knocks that off. But instead of what they in Melbourne, they had to go up all the way to Orlando. I know Bert, when we had two camps, one in Orlando, one in Melbourne, every now and then they'd bring over a Bauer, or they'd bring over a Bert to get some innings in.
Sure.
Because in those days, we only cared. We didn't have these extra guys. We just take 40 guys, you know, they bring in the guys as 40 men roster. But now that they've changed, because TK used to come in and have big with the guys in the big league, you know, when we had Fort Myers. They come down to the minor leagues and says, I don't want you guys over there messing around with us, because if you ain't had a good season, you don't belong over there yet. When you have a good year, we'll invite you in. But then they started changing things.
Yeah.
So how'd I do?
You're doing great. Great. Okay. You want to take a little break here?
Yeah, we take a little, you know, I'm about to hit the coach.
Yeah, tell us about a little bit about coaches.
When I came up, well, about 10 years ago, we had four coaches. Then it went to six. Then it went to eight. Now we ain't got enough blockers. You got two hitting coaches, two pitching coaches, a bench coach. Somebody goes down to the bullpen, and somebody keeps an eye on the computer to see if we should have this replay.
Yep.
So why do we need two hitting? I mean, nothing against. I didn't commit this job. Some base committee, somebody did it. But if you got two hitting coaches showing these guys hit, well, one guy's going to show him the hit one way, and the other one might tell him to hit the other way. Same with a pitcher. Somebody might say, throw your curveball this way or throw it that way, you know, the other guy.
Yeah. So, what? And I think some of the players, you know, it's hard to get all the players to listen to one hitting coach, apparently. So they decided that, you know, they'll have two of them, and maybe the players will like one of the two anyway.
Oh, the funniest thing is some of them get there, they say actually hitting at noon or one, whatever. They come out hitting the cage at three, then they go on the field, then they come in to eat. Then some of them will go down, when I leave, sometimes they're hitting in the cage, you know.
Yep.
Somebody who ain't playing. I mean, it's nice to keep in shape, but you can get tired just hitting in the cage and hitting on the field and hitting in the cage, you know.
Yep.
What I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they go out, the pitchers, when they pitch today, tomorrow they're going to have a practice session, which is nice. But all they're doing is throwing to the catcher. I ain't like he's doing bad practice. I mean, in the old days, the pitching, you know, after you pitch, you go down and you throw batting practice, maybe 10 or 15 in the cage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now the coaches do that. The players, I mean, they don't do nothing except sit around and look dumb.
Yesterday, you know, I went out to the ballpark. So yesterday, the Twins had a night game. And so I went to the ballpark in the afternoon to spend some time over on the minor league side and also to watch the players that remained behind and didn't go to the game or weren't going to play that night. And right. I don't know, there must have been about 20 guys or so that were there that weren't going to go to the, or didn't go to the Sarasota. And, you know, the guys that stay behind don't do a whole lot, to be honest. You know, they...
They took backpacks. Stuff like that. You're right, they don't do much. They're out there, I don't know how long. Usually they're out there only about an hour. How long did they stay?
Exactly an hour. You know, they were supposed to be out at 2 o'clock, and they came out. And first they chatted for a while, and then they kind of stretched and then ran, a few sprints. And then they took some of them took batting practice. The others were shagging the balls, and then they swapped places. And when an hour was over, they were done for the day.
Yeah, I know, but then I go in, when the bus leaves, all we do is sit around waiting for them guys, and before I know it, here they come in. I said, "Boy, y'all didn't stay out there very long." It was still sunshine when they came in.
Yeah, and they do things kind of differently. I was over on watching the minor leaguers play, and Charlotte was playing a team from Boston, and the Twins apparently sent Eddie Rosario over there, and Eddie Rosario was playing for Charlotte, but he didn't play in the field at all. He just came up, and I think they wanted him to take extra hitting because he was injured for a while. And so he was the third batter for Charlotte in every inning.
Oh, yeah, that's... When they have games like that, they tell the other manager, well, this guy's going to hit every inning. They say, okay. Because they don't... there's no rules. I mean, sometimes... I know in the structure league, they used to... that's when they play in October. And they put a man on second base. I said, wait a minute. What are you doing putting him on second base? Well, they just... That's the way they start the game. They put a guy on first or put a guy on second. Mm-hmm. So, they made it. It's supposed to earn your way on the base, but they don't do that in instruction. And then they have to get 2 minute runs. Like if they get 6 or 7 runs, and they got 3 outs. They say, let's just roll it over, come on in, and let the other team hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just kind of set the scenarios the way they want them, and then see if the player can hit to the right spot or whatever.
They bring 40 guys down there for about 12 games, like 3 catchers, maybe 10 pitchers. I said, gee, man, and they spend a lot of money down there,
Oh, yeah.
They spend like $50,000, bring them in and food and stuff like that. And like 3 catchers, he ain't going to get to catch maybe 2 or 3 games. I mean, they use him just in case they need it, but, nothing important. I mean, I worked in structure league from 19 when I first got there, 64 to 95, and we played real baseball. I mean, we only bought about 25 guys down there, and it was going to the next level. Now they take 40, and they release some of them guys before they even get spring training, which don't make sense, but that's the way they wanted it, so that's why they got it.
Yeah, things are different.
Yeah, it starts in the middle of September and ends the middle of October.
My frustration with spring training games is, that they only send the young guys on to the road games and only send, 2 or 3 regular players along, and all the veterans get to always stay back.
Yeah, they get an hour. I mean, Joe Mauer never made a road trip. Maybe he might have went over to Boston, but I don't consider that a road trip.
Yeah, those guys, that's frustrating to me. Like, we drove up to Bradenton a week or so ago to watch the Twins play the Pirates. And, you know, there's hardly any regular players that make the trip at all. Hardly any. And, you know, people pay good money.
I don't know what the Yankees did the other day, but some of the people, I presume they played mostly Triple A guys, but I see people even just, damn, we're paying good money, and they didn't bring A-Rod or something big league involved, but they left them at home.
Yep.
They don't want to make that trip. Or if they did make a trip, they'd bring their own car, play two innings, and get in their car and leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess that's baseball today.
That's right. But that's what I'm going to tell you about the old days, you know, how it changed from when I grew up to what it is right now. It may change. By the time June comes, I may have some more stories. Maybe, give me a call before you leave, okay?
Oh, I'll do that. We'll stay in touch. And then when you get up there, then, you know, we'll get together and do some more things, too.
Okay, I appreciate it, John. I didn't mean to keep you so long. Once I get started, I thought...
No problem at all. We will talk to you again real soon.
Okay, Jack.